And so today, our topic is fitness life. Fitness life, okay? So we have these things called bodies, right? And so does God care about our physical body? Yes, he does. And so what I like to do whenever it's possible is be really practical. Be really practical and not just leave things out in theory world, but bring it into the practical. So what we're going to do today is have a combo workout session and sermon. Okay, so if you would kind of spread out across the aisles, get in a push-up position, we're going to do our first few reps. Nobody's moving. You think I'm kidding? I am kidding, actually. I thought somebody, I mean, we have so many fit people here, I thought somebody would jump at the chance to show how many they can do without stopping, right? In fact, I'll be honest, when I think about this topic, it's not an accident that I moved this one to the Sunday after Easter, whenever people might not be here, because so many of you are already in tip-top condition. But there are some of us who need this message especially. So the idea is God does care about every part of our lives, including our physical bodies. And again, I just want to say at the beginning, man, there's so much to cover. And as we get into it, you'll see, okay, there is a lot here. And so we're just going to scratch the surface. And so if you're looking for a deep, perfect scientific explanation for all these different things, I'm sorry, from the very beginning, it won't be that. But we will look at what Scripture says about our bodies and what God's thoughts are toward our bodies and how we take care of our fitness. Just to start off with, I want to jump into a verse that's familiar. And before we do that, let me pray. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you created us with these bodies and you know everything about them. And so as we explore this topic of abundant life as it relates to our bodies, will you speak to us? Lord, some of us already know a lot of this stuff, but may we see how it reflects you, how it applies to the spiritual realm. So Spirit, will you speak in our hearts? Will you guide us? Will you give us strength? Will you open our eyes? And may we leave differently today in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's a verse you've seen before. We know and we love this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And we'll look at 7 and 8 in just a second. Verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. We love that verse. I need that verse. That's a very important verse for us. We trust him in everything. We don't lean on our own rationale, but we acknowledge him in everything, right? That's what we're talking about, this elite life. In every area, we acknowledge him. But look at verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. It sounds kind of like lean not on your own understanding, right? Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't just think about what you can rationalize. Fear the Lord, which sounds like trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, so he's repeating himself here. And turn away from evil. In all your ways acknowledge him. Okay, so we're having a repeat here. But look at what verse 8 says. When we do these things, when we trust him, we don't trust ourselves. Whenever we turn toward him, look at what will happen. It will be healing to your what? Flesh and refreshment to your? Whoa. There is a physical result. Whenever we do the right thing, whenever we follow God's way, when we trust in him, when we have faith in his way and not our own, there's a physical gain that happens. He's aware that we have bodies and his path is the best path, including for our bodies. And so for me, it's exciting to think about how God is not just leaving that out there just for random, hopefully it goes well. No, he has thoughts about our bodies. And so just to review, this Elite Life series, we're saying, okay, we want abundant life. We don't want life like everybody else. We want the very best that's possible. And for that to happen, and we learned at the beginning, Christ has to be the center. Whenever he's on the throne, when he's in control of our lives, then he can guide us down the path to have abundance that he's promised that we can have. But it's not just for us. We get to have abundance, but more than that, he takes us beyond and he uses us to accomplish his mission, that outer ring. He's working something bigger. And so we are obviously benefited from abundant life, but the world, it has an impact because of him using us and our lives. And so it makes a difference. And there's fruit that comes out of our lives when we follow him. And so we're walking through the different aspects of our lives. We know we have relationships with family and friends. We have responsibilities, our finances, our field of working, and then our recreation, which is where we're going today with the fitness and the fun. And so we know there's different parts of our lives. We've covered the first two in relationships. Family was the third week, and so we know that in family, the operative word for these relationships, what God desires is love. And for different relationships, love will look a little bit differently, but love is what he wants. And so we realize we run out and we need him to fill us up. And so love is a big part of how we relate in our families. And then we looked at friendships, and we know that the word for this one is influence. Make sure that we're influenced well, but also turn it around and think, how can I be an influence, a positive influence for someone else to bear fruit for the kingdom? But today we turn our attention to fitness, as we've said, and so it'll be a lot of fun, I think, to walk through some of these aspects. Now again, life, as we've defined it, is not just brainwaves, heartbeat, breathing. It's the presence of God. And so what is the presence of God in our physical bodies, our fitness? What does that look like? That is our question. One of the most popular verses when you think about your bodies and fitness is this one, 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You've heard this verse. The Holy Spirit's within you, whom you have from God. Do you not know this? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So when is the last time someone walked up to you and said, you know what, when you walked in the door, I just thought, hallelujah. Maybe your spouse, right? Anybody else? You know, they look at your body. Are you glorifying God in your body? Okay, now maybe somebody won't say hallelujah, but again, at least you're not going to be taking away. And so it's this interesting thought of, okay, even our bodies need to be part of us giving glory, having a witness for God. And so there's so many scriptures. Sandy and I were talking a little bit ahead of time about, okay, what's the topic for today? And I said, fitness. And there's not a lot of worship songs about fitness, right? And so, but there are so many verses, and so it's just an interesting topic. In fact, it's all through the Bible, this idea. And so there's a lot of them that are a little bit subtle, but they're all through the Bible. In fact, one of the stories that maybe if you were reading the resurrection account, you came across the story of Peter and John racing. You remember this? Racing. So there's a race at the resurrection, this physical contest, a competition. It's actually in John 20. So John is the one who wrote the book of John. Right? But he never calls himself John or me. He never refers to himself that way. He refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved, the beloved disciple. Right? And so, and I'll just read quickly. It talks about the resurrection in John chapter 20. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. Who's that? That's John. Okay, so Peter and John. And said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. She doesn't get it. He's resurrected, right? Verse 3. So Peter went out with the other disciple. Who's that? That's John. So Peter and John went out, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple, who's that? John outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He's like, yeah. I beat Peter. Yeah. Verse 5, and stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Talking about himself. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. Peter was braver, right? He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, still John, who had reached the tomb first? He says it again. It's like the other disciple, that one, that beat Peter, yeah, he also went in. So there's all these little things in the Bible. If you're looking for them, it's funny. And there's more I was going to share, but we don't have time. But there's all these things in there about the physical. And sometimes you have the Holy Spirit come in and people do supernatural things. But sometimes it's just there. And you can see how people are either better in better condition or not. And so it's all through here. But basically, whenever you come to, there they are, Peter and John. Which one's the fast one? Anybody guess? The one in white, right? Must be. I don't know. He doesn't have a beard. He must be too young. Okay, so But there's two sides, basically, to this idea of fitness. There's two sides, and we'll look more at this in just a second. But the idea is we don't want to be disqualified. You know, so whenever we look at our lives, the reality is any one of these areas can disqualify us from accomplishing the mission. You know, if we think about our family lives, for instance, if our family life, a relationship in our family life is just a wreck, we can't even function hardly, much less accomplish something that God wants us to accomplish, right? And so the same thing can happen in our bodies. If we are so unhealthy, we're not able to accomplish what God wants for us. Or if we're overboard focusing on our health even, we cannot accomplish what God wants for us. And so we don't want to be disqualified is one side of it, but rather we want to be an example where we give God glory with our bodies. We want to be a witness. And so how can we do that? 1 Corinthians 9:27 says it this way, but I discipline, fun word, right? I discipline my body and keep it under, another fun word, control. Lest after preaching to others, I myself should be, there's that word, disqualified. Wouldn't it be a shame if I'm not able to reach someone because they look at me and think, man, what a fat slob who's so lazy. I can't believe you're eating that. I don't want to hear about your Jesus. Whoa. All of a sudden, my preference for a certain type of food or my lack of control of my body has now impacted the spiritual realm. And so we need to take this seriously and say, okay, where am I? Am I being careful to not disqualify myself, but rather be an example, be a positive witness? And so again, we look at ourselves in general and say, okay, in this realm, what's my status? You know, am I a disaster zone? And pretty much everyone in Discovery Bay is in good shape, and so probably not any number ones here. But am I producing fruit all the way up? Is my physical body, my fitness, helping me guide other people to Jesus? Because that's really the mission. And so how can that part of my life help with this? A few years ago, we lived in Colorado. Again, a lot of people in Colorado are very active and fit outdoors, running and doing things. And so we were down at a park. They had some exercise equipment and some playground and things. And so we were walking around. Laura and I were walking while the kids were playing. And they have this sign right there in the park that I think captures this idea of fitness very well. Look at this sign and see if you agree. Just two things, right? Just two things. If you can do these two things, you're going to be in a lot better condition. Eat better, move more. Don't eat trash. Get some kind of exercise. So they've simplified it down really, really well. I do think there's at least one more component that would be helpful, and I'm thankful that they left me a blank right there because I'll put it in. Stop. So here's what I would say. I think there are three basic components to fitness, and that's diet, exercise, and rest. And so for diet, I've got three P's for you. For exercise, I have three W's, and for rest, I have four S's. That's 10 altogether, so we have to go quickly. Are you ready? Are you ready to move more? Okay, we're going to move. All right, here we go. Maybe we'll stand up and get some blood pumping. All right, so the first area is this area of diet. Now again, 7 to 8 minutes or so for each of these, and we'll try to move quickly and say, okay, God, what are you doing? But let's talk about diet first. Whenever we come to diet, I said I have three P's, and so here's the first P in the realm of the foods that we eat. It's this one, portion. A lot of times it's not about what you're eating, it's how much you're eating or I'm eating. And so whenever I've had enough, I should just stop and not keep going. But, you know, sometimes it just tastes so good. I want one more bite. Oh, one more serving. Just cut off one more. Let's get that edge straight. You know, cut off that edge. I'll just clean it up, right? So we just keep on going, and our portions are out of control. So the portion is one way. Growing up, you know, whenever we would go visit my grandmother, it was fun because, you know, you never know what you're going to get at grandma's table. But sometimes she would really cook something great, okay? So we would eat and eat and eat and eat. And like, oh, thank you, grandma. And then we would say these two words at the end because we were feeling full, right? And so we would say at the end, oh, I'm full. She hated that. Now, this is a poor woman, right? She grew up in the country, in the sticks, not a high class, not a wealthy woman, but she had enough class to know you don't say at the table when you're finished, I'm full. And she would get on to us, what is that? I'm full. Are you a pig or something? So she would get on to us. No, you can't say I'm full. Here's what you say. And so to hear this poor country Texas woman say this is hilarious. She would say, when you're finished, you should say, I have dined sufficiently. Where did you learn that word, right? I have dined sufficiently. But the whole point is I haven't overwhelmed myself with food. I haven't stuffed myself. And there's this idea of enough. Enough. Just eat enough. You know, whenever we go out to eat places, the portions are massive. You know, Laura and I have learned a lot of times we can go out to eat and just cut it in half. Just share. And I'll be honest, sometimes I feel bad, right? Because the waiter, the waitress is there taking your order. It's like, we're going to share this one. They're like, are you kidding me? We're here to make money and you're going to cut it in half? Like, you know what? I'm not going to hurt myself to please you, okay? So we're going to share one. Just cut it in half. And again, you guys, I can look at you and see you know about all this already. So, but Proverbs 38, I think, fits this really well. He says this, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Not too much, not too little, just enough. And so the portion, I think, is a big thing we can learn. The next thing is this one, the purchase. The purchase. There is this strange phenomenon that we've noticed at our house. Whenever we buy junk food and we bring it home, it's wild. I don't know how it works, but we end up eating it. Does that happen to anybody else? If it's in your house, you end up putting it in your body. And so a lot of our decisions are not made in the moment with the food in front of us. Our decisions are made at the store. We bought the wrong stuff. We bought junk. And if you buy junk, you're going to eat junk. And the problem is, look at that junk. Oh, my goodness. Some of you are like, ugh, and that's why I feel like I'm silly. But I look at this and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm American, right? I should weigh more than I do, but I'm living here, so I'm losing weight, right? So there's Coke. Come on with the Coke. There's the cheese. There's the donuts. There's the cinnamon, the cookie, the chips. I love chips. The people on Evelyn could tell you. Elizabeth could tell you. I love chips. It's my downfall. All right, so chips. There's the M&Ms, the brownie, the mints. I don't care. You can have the jelly beans. But again, the Coke. Give me the Coke. All right, so this stuff, it looks so good. But it's so bad, right? It's poison. And what happens is you're walking down the aisle, and you see the carrots, and you see the chips, and that's a pretty easy decision. In fact, the carrots, you have to cut them up and clean them and all this kind of stuff, or the chips, it's already ready to go. Just grab it, put it in your cart, and boom, it's easy. But that's what happens to us. At the purchase is where we get ourselves in trouble with a lot of this junk. Now, again, we don't have to say never. We can't ever have anything fun, anything that tastes good, anything sweet. We don't have to say that. You can, but you don't have to. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things built up. You see, we're under grace. We're under freedom. In the Old Testament, they have these laws because they're trying to do all the right things to please God. And now we know Jesus did it. He took care of it. So the sins have been washed away. So we're not trying to obey all the laws all the time. And so we have freedom. Eat the junk. No. All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. And so, yes, it's okay every now and then if you want to have something. But if you're doing it all the time, if you're purchasing the junk, you're going to eat the junk. If you're eating the junk, it's going to hurt you. Your body will be affected. And so this part of our diet is a big deal. And so whenever we think about the purchases, we do have to come back to that chips versus carrots question, right? And I've done this before. It actually works. If you think ahead, which is the hard part, if you think ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to want a snack. Snacks are okay as long as they're healthy snacks. Cut up the carrots, put them in a little bag, and forget the chips. They're even the same color. See, they're both orange. You can make it, right? I've done this before. I don't like it, but it actually works. It's crunchy. It's orange. It's a snack. It helps, all right? So you can do things like that. Here's the tough one. Instead of M&Ms, grab an orange. It's possible. I've done it before. It's not fun, but it's healthy. So the purchase is a big part of it. And then finally, the last part of diet is the word pause. Like, what? Pause. Whenever we talk about a pause, what we're talking about is fasting. Everyone got up this morning and said, I hope he preaches on fasting today. That's the best thing ever. What's interesting is, you know, this is not a you should or maybe you should. It's a given in Scripture that fasting is something we should do. Jesus in Matthew 6 says, and when you fast, and he gives directions. He doesn't say if you fast. He says when you fast. It's expected that we, as God-following people, will be about fasting. And the reason for that is because we should be praying. We want to have that kind of prayer life where we withdraw from these things we want to do so we can focus on something more important. And so we pause. What's cool is in the last few years, people have begun to understand in some new ways the power, the physical benefits of fasting. Here's a list of 5 things that are good for you in intermittent fasting. 5 things there. Here's another list of 13 things that are good, the benefits of fasting. So all these things are good. And so people are discovering, hey, I had this great idea. It's something they've been doing for thousands of years called fasting. And so whenever we, again, follow God's way and not our own rationale, we benefit. We gain from it. And so fasting is really helpful. It's a trend. One of the cool things about fasting is this: the release of hormones, growth hormones that actually help your body heal and recover and take care of diseases and so on. And so whenever we fast, we're doing our bodies a huge favor. So it's important for us to pause, but not only for the physical benefits, but for the spiritual ones as well. I don't have time today, but I could tell stories of some amazing things that God has done in our life, in our marriage, during fasting season. In fact, if I zoom out for a second and I look at what God has done in the fasting times, I should be fasting all the time. It's just incredible what happens in the spiritual realm whenever we take that step of faith to back off of food so we can focus on what happens spiritually a little bit more. And so this pause is an important part of our diet to understand there's a time to stop. Let your digestive system actually recover a little bit. Get rid of some stored negative things that need to be eaten up. So here's one of the reasons why it's hard to fast. And that's because food activates certain parts of your brain. Did you know that whenever you're in relationship and it's positive, that activates a certain part of your brain that's actually for joy? Okay? There's a joy center in your brain. And whenever you have positive interactions in a relationship, it activates that part of your brain. Do you know what else also activates that part of the brain? Food. Someone said chocolate. Food actually partially activates that same part of your brain. Thus, emotional eating. Does anyone here believe in emotional eating? I do, right? It's real. That's why it's hard for us to stop eating, because it gives us a buzz. Food literally activates these things in our brain and chemicals get released and we feel happy because food is great. So whenever we want to stop for a little while, it's hard because we're like, oh, I don't know if I can go without my little fix. And so it's a huge step of faith whenever we're willing to say, you know what, I'm going to back off. I'm going to back off and pause in this area of eating. And so it's not easy to do. So maybe for you it's difficult and you'd be like the guy who went to the doctor. The doctor talked about fasting, and this guy was like, no way, I can't do it. And so the doctor said this. Well, let's ease into this. Start with fasting between meals. That's actually funny, in case you didn't notice. Do you understand what fasting is? Okay, so maybe you just have to skip the snacks in between meals, but let's just start. Let's just start and learn to pause with the food. Well, Brady, we thought that was funny whenever we looked at that earlier, didn't we? Okay, I'm sorry. I'll have to find some new jokes. I'll have to work a little harder on my jokes. So the doctor says, hey, let's ease into it. Start with what we can. Now, here's the question. You're in the diet section here. And you say, okay, does God really care about what I eat? You're going to lunch here in a little while. And maybe you're thinking, I don't think God actually cares about what I eat. Well, let's just look at this. Let's look at the status report again, okay? So in the area of eating, how are you doing? How are you doing? Are you making good choices where, in fact, it's producing fruit? You're doing so well that people ask, and you get to share with them, well, because I am wanting to do my very best in every area of my life, I'm wanting to please God, I'm making these kind of choices. It's a chance to witness. Or are you in disaster zone and you're eating and your diet choices? And where are you? Maybe you're in the middle somewhere. Again, does God care about that chip? Probably not, but does he care about the results and the direction of your life? Absolutely. And so we look We want to be honest and say, okay, where am I in this realm of diet? Okay, keep going. The next realm is exercise. So we've talked about the food that we eat. Next, move more. This concept of exercising. And the fun thing about exercise is there's lots of ways to get this, right? So one of the W's for exercise is this one here, work. What's interesting is for most of history, people have not thought about exercise because they did it all day, every day, right? If I go to both of my grandfathers, either one of them, and I say, hey, what was your exercise routine? They would laugh at me. They didn't have an exercise routine. They worked. They worked. They actually exercised during the day for their job. And most people in the world in history have done this. And so we're in a different time because our jobs are more sedentary most of the time. And so we can't say, hey, I'm going to get my exercise by working. But for most people, it has been that way. And so whenever you look at the verse in Exodus 20, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, there's your exercise plan. Go to work, you're getting your exercise. But that's not where most of us are. So the next phase or next mode of exercise would be what I call, I won't tell you because I have to ask this question. Good, I almost slipped up. Okay, question, and this is an interactive time. What is the best form of exercise? Have we done this before? Walking, swimming. You've heard it before. Somebody else. Dragon boating, yes, no shock. A little plug there for dragon boating. Running, bicycling, all these different ones. But Martin knows the answer because we've talked about this. The actual best form of exercise is the one you will do. Whatever you'll do, because if you don't like it, you won't do it. So for you, if you want the best exercise for you, find the one you like. Find the one that you like. And so whenever I was working with a guy who's an exercise psychologist, he said, I don't like to swim, even though swimming, you know, pulls the most calories out of me. He said, I don't like to run. It beats me up. Because I like to walk. So every time I would have a meeting with him, we never sat down in chairs and talked. You know what we did? We went for a walk. I was like, what, are you trying to kill me? This is crazy. It's summertime. I know, but we got to walk. Okay, all right. We're doing that tomorrow for staff meeting, actually. We're going to do some new things. No, so we would just walk. And so when you think about this next mode of exercising, maybe you don't get your exercise from work. And so let's just do what it takes to stay healthy. And maybe it's just walking, just a matter of getting out and moving around. You know, Jesus was actually in this mode. Jesus was a carpenter for most of his career, but then when he turned about 30, he stopped carpentering, and he began to do his ministry. And he walked, and he walked, and he walked, and he walked. So he got his exercise by going places, and so he walked. So maybe for you, it'll be this idea of just doing something to keep yourself moving. Again, we come back to 1 Corinthians 9, where we see this idea of discipline and control. I discipline my body. I look at what it takes to stay under control. I pick a zone and say, I want to be at this weight. I want to be at this endurance level. And you do what it takes to stay there. Do you know what the magic number is for time when it comes to minutes per week? The magic number of time is 150. 150. Again, the same exercise psychologist, this guy with a PhD, was telling me this, and so this isn't coming from me. But he said the magic number is 150 minutes a week. So for 5 days a week, do 30 minutes, and you're at your 150 number. And if you will do this, if the people, so you have a graph, right? The people who have less than 150 minutes a week, their risk for disease, disability, death, these kind of things, goes way up compared to people who have 150 to 150 plus minutes per week. Once you get this threshold of just 150 minutes a week, it makes a huge difference in your health. And so even if it's walking at a decent pace, 30 minutes, 5 days, that's going to do it. That's going to help you tremendously. And so we learn, okay, maybe I'm in this walk mode because I can't do anything else, but maybe you can do 150 minutes. And then you have this third phase, this third mode of exercise that I call the warrior phase. The warrior phase. And so 1 Corinthians 9:24 says this, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Maybe you're getting ready for some kind of competition, or maybe you're getting for some kind of race or whatever. And so this is warrior mode, okay, where you're going for it. You're trying to train and move and get ready and eat and do all the sleep, all the different things exactly like you should so you can win the race. You can finish the competition. And some of you guys do some crazy stuff. I'm hearing about hundreds of kilometers. I'm hearing about triathlons and all the swimming. I'm like, wow, you're amazing. Tell me how that goes. Congratulations, right? So some of you get into warrior mode and you're going for it, and it's good for your kids to see you dedicate yourself to something and finish something that can be really positive. And so you have this warrior mode, but you know that you can't stay in that all the time, most likely. And maybe you shouldn't, actually. In fact, we come back to the question again, does God really care how much I exercise? Does God really care how much I exercise? Well, again, we come back to the same thing. Am I unhealthy or am I doing too much? So where am I? I'm going to show a chart here that may be a little disturbing. You've seen it before. I was thinking earlier during the worship time about this chart I'm about to show, and I was like, am I really going to show that chart? I am going to show this chart. Let me just show it. Okay, so here it is. Body fat percentage, okay? Does God really care what my body fat percentage is? Now, by the way, I can tell you, not from personal experience because I've never been there, but the guys up here in the less than 10% zone are miserable. Did you know that? Has anyone ever been below 10% on purpose? You worked really hard. A couple of you are thinking about it. I've heard bodybuilders tell me it's a terrible place to be. You hate life, okay? You're cutting, 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 cutting to make that muscle look really good. So I'm not worried about being there ever, really, right? Okay? But then you come over here to some of these ones where it's a little bit more, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe that's not okay. So what's the right body? Does God care what my body fat percentage is? Does he want me to be at a certain number? But let's just think about it. Let's just think about it for a second. So maybe I'm in a 10 to 12%. I'm not, but maybe someone is, right? Someone's at 10 to 12%, and they're really making it happen, but they're not taking care of their wife. They're not taking care of their kids. They're not doing well at work. Why? Because they're always in the gym. I got to keep it at 11%. Does God care? Yes, God cares. You don't need to stick at 11%. You need to be a good husband. You need to do your job like you're supposed to, okay? Maybe you're at 40%, and you're a great husband, and you're a great dad, and your work is going well, and you're loving life, right? But you're not going to see your grandkids. So does God care? Yes, he cares. So just come back to this status report. How am I doing? How am I doing? Am I in disaster zone? Like I could have a heart attack any second? Or am I doing too much? Or my family, my relationships are falling apart because I'm escaping action. I'm using my exercise as an escape from the relationships that I need to be in, right? So where am I? Am I in disaster zone or am I using this as God glorified and is my witness increasing because of how I am exercising? Okay, one more, and that's rest. So we talked about diet, exercise, but then there's this other part of us that's actually really important called rest. If you're a workout person, you know your body needs time to recover. And God built this in from the very beginning. And so the first S in rest may be one of your favorite things. It's one of my favorite things. Oh, praise God for sleep. Laura could tell you whenever we're getting in bed at night, I was like, oh, my favorite time of day. Yes, go to sleep. Anybody else love sleep? Okay, we got some parents of babies. They're like, sleep, what is sleep? I don't even know what that is, right? But sleep is really, really important. In fact, Scripture has some great things to say. Psalm 4:8, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. This is in the Bible, right? For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So sleep is okay. Look at this one. It is vain that you rise up early. Some of you crazy businessmen, look at this. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. So rest is really important. We need to make sure that we're getting enough sleep, but not too much. In fact, Proverbs 24 says this, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a robber and want like an armed man. There can be times where we're being lazy. We're trying to escape the things we need to do, and so I just need a little more rest. And so we have to find that balance, again, of getting the right amount of sleep. And I want to give a gift to those of you who are parents of babies. that are waking you up in the middle of the night. So we've been there. Laura and I have three children, and so we know about waking up in the middle of the night and that baby's crying and your head weighs 2 tons and you can't get off the pillow and you're thinking, what? I have to do what? I have to take care of someone else? I'm tired, right? And so you're there. Maybe you've been there for weeks or months or years. But my dad gave us some great advice. He said, Danny, here's what you need to do. You need to set up shifts. That's a brilliant idea. Great idea. It's like, yeah. So from 10 to 2, it's my turn. And from 2 to 6, it's your turn. And so you're making this decision when you're both alert and able to communicate. And there's no question of, okay, whose turn is it this time? Look at the clock. It's 3 o'clock. Oh, it's my turn. Okay. So yeah, shifts. And that way you get at least 4 hours of sleep per night. Okay, so there you go. Some of you are like, okay, what's that about? But you'll think about it and you'll be thanking me later. All right, so sleep. A great idea. The next S is Sabbath. Sabbath. So we have sleep once every day, hopefully. You get to sleep. Maybe naps are okay too. But then once a week we have this idea of Sabbath and this idea of stopping. And so in Scripture, we have one of the Ten Commandments. Commandment number 4 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. Now, why does it say remember? Well, because God did it at the very beginning. He instituted a Sabbath rest way back in the very first week of creation. And so we remember this is what God wants for us, and then we just follow in faith. We follow in faith. Now, this is a difficult one because whenever we look at our calendars, one day, one full day of stopping and resting is a huge sacrifice, actually. 1 out of 7, we're going to give it up and not do all these other things, but just stop and rest and stay home. And by the way, whenever we talk about Sabbath, this isn't running to town and shopping. It's not going and seeing movies and doing all these other things that you can't do during. No, it's just stopping, actually, and like have conversations and take a nap or whatever, right? And so this idea of truly stopping is really foreign to most of us. But it's something that God wants us to enjoy. And so stopping once a week is a huge sacrifice. You know, if you think tithing financially is a big deal, because that's 10%, do you know what 1/7 is? 14.2. 14% of your time, basically, whenever we do what God is saying here. But whenever we have the faith, whenever we have the faith to trust God with 1 day out of 7, there are huge rewards from that. I've done a whole sermon on this, and maybe one day we'll get to come and do that. Not today. But Sabbath is a huge deal that God really cares about, and we need to honor him and have faith and be willing to stop 1 day a week. And then you have another idea that I call separate. And so in the Bible, you have these different festivals. You see these times where they would go away and they'd have these feasts. But the idea is every couple of months, you separate. And you don't just stay in the grind all the time. Jesus, in fact, with his disciples in Mark 6, he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Now, the nice thing about living in Hong Kong is we celebrate every holiday that the whole world celebrates. And so Hong Kong has this built in. We just need to make sure we use this. And so whenever we have a holiday, actually try to rest a little bit. Try to catch your breath. Usually we're on an airplane going somewhere, trying to make most of the time off, and we come back more tired than when we left. But the idea is every so often, take a break, take a step back, and separate from all the busyness. And then the last one is one that's really strange that I don't know hardly anybody who uses this, and that's the idea of a sabbatical. Again, in Scripture, they had this command that every 7th year, you don't plant your field. So every 7th year, so work for 6 years, the 7th year, you don't do agriculture. I don't know what, I was looking it up. What did they do during the 7th year? But so for us to have this is really foreign, and I'm not going to try to unpack it today. But again, I just want you to see that there's more to rest than just sleeping at night, which some of us aren't doing. But there's the Sabbath. There's the separation. There's a sabbatical. There's more in this area of rest, and I encourage you, dig in and explore what God has for you. And the life, the refreshment that God has for you whenever you listen and you learn how to stop and follow his design for how life works. So how does this rest work? Well, for sleep, obviously this is daily. Sabbath, once a week. Separation, 3 or 4 or 7, however many times per year you separate. Sabbatical every 7 years. And so how are you doing? A status report quickly. How are you doing in the area of rest right now? And maybe you've got little babies and you're in disaster zone. Your marriage is about to break up because you can't sleep at night. Or maybe you're always bright-eyed and bushy-tailed because you have everything figured out and you're able to really be on top of your game every second. I don't know, but where are you when it comes to this idea of rest? So fitness, life. In your physical fitness, is there the presence of God? Is he guiding you? Do you sense his direction and leadership for you? And I can tell you, hey, for me, this one is not, I'm not great here. I have work to do. And it's hard. I mean, the schedule is just weird, right? Our routine, I can't get into a routine, get the kids up early, get them to school, then you go to work, and then you get the kids back, and then, time to go to bed. All right, I didn't have any. So it's hard, and I get that. So you have to decide. You have to make decisions, and we have to be intentional about it. But here's the other thing, too, and I just want to come back to this idea of having a conversation with God. It's not easy. And so what we have to do is come to this place where we don't just try to fix it on our own. Because when we look at the other areas, we can't fix those. We need his help. And so we just come back to Emmanuel, like that sheet we gave out a few weeks ago. And just come back to God and say, God, what do you think? Lord, what do you think about my exercise habits? What do you think about what I'm eating? What do you think about how I'm resting? What do you think? And let him have a conversation with you. Let him give you the ideas and the plans and the thoughts that he will have. And so again, we come back to this place of relationship, not trying to do things to please him, but rather to walk in relationship with him in this. He wants the best for you and for me. So let's talk to him about our fitness. This area is such a popular area. There are so many resources. It'll be tempting to not ask God because you can just get online and look at stuff. There are so many resources. But again, I want to encourage you, ask God about it. And maybe one of the things that he will help you see is people that are inspiring. Because when you get online, when you watch a video, you'll be motivated. Hey, that's good. I'm going to try to do what they're doing. I'm going to learn from them. One of the guys that I really like is a guy named Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is kind of like the golden boy of America. He's a great athlete in college, played some American football. Now he's trying baseball. Just a great athlete. He works super, super hard. Just recently was engaged to a South African like Miss Universe winner, I think. Demi Lee Nell Peters, I think. So she's South African. So they're engaged. They're getting married one of these days. But Tim Tebow is like a serious exercise machine, right? And so just recently someone was asking him about his diet, his plan that he's on. He's on a special diet. And they were asking him, hey, do you have cheat days? Anybody know about cheat days? Yeah. I loved it in Lent whenever we got to Sunday because I could have my sweets, right? So cheat days, right? So they're asking Tim Tebow, hey, so tell us about your cheat days. Do you take cheat days? And he's like, no. Like, my brain just doesn't let me do that. He said, here's the quote. It's hard for me to wake up and say, today is the day I'm not going to get better at something. Like, Tim, you're killing me. Come on. But guys like Tim are around, and they're out there, and they can be inspiring to us to say, you know what? Let's go a little bit harder than we've been going. Let's take the next step. Let's have faith. Let's be disciplined. Let's have control. Let's see what God has for us and enjoy the abundance in that area. So we're talking about elite life, and we're talking about fitness. How about you? Are you doing well, or does God have things he's saying to you? Would you bow your heads? I just want to ask a couple of questions. So maybe as we're going through this, you already know all this stuff and more. It's very likely. And so there's nothing new for you, and that's totally fine. But maybe God said something to you. Maybe there's something that he put on your heart about your diet or your exercise or your rest habits. Or maybe he said something completely unrelated to what we talked about, and the Holy Spirit just touched your heart, and you need to respond to him. And so I just want to invite you in the next couple of minutes just to listen to what God is saying to you. And it could be that this morning you realize you're not even in a place to receive the elite life that Jesus wants for you because you don't have relationship with Jesus yet. But you're ready. So maybe you would say, you know what, I want a relationship with Jesus. I believe that God sent him to die for me. I believe that His blood covered my sins. I believe that he rose again on the third day, what we celebrated Easter. And I put my trust in Jesus today. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be a Christian. So if that's you, take the step today. Take the step into life. Whatever it is that the Spirit is saying in your heart, I just want to encourage you, be obedient. Father, I thank you that you created these bodies and you know how they work. And whenever we follow your design, your plan, we get to experience abundance. And Lord, there's some people in the room here who have bodies that are broken for whatever reason. So I pray that you'll give them peace and no sense of shame or whatever. But Lord, just peace that, hey, I'm in a different place. I'm not walking a normal path. And I pray that you'll help them, give them strength. Father, I pray that you'd be Rapha, the healer for them. But Lord, so many of us have been given fantastic physical bodies and we're not stewarding them well. So may we take this gift and turn it into something that's a witnessing tool, where we are healthy and it's even a witness, a positive witness. I don't know how you want to do that, but I pray that by your Spirit you will move in our hearts and help us to see what your thoughts are for each one of us in this area. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessings in the physical realm. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together? We'll continue to sing. If you want to contact one of us to talk about something, we'd be happy to pray with you, talk with you after the service.